Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit korin.com.
Welcome to Japanese. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, food writer and director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every day in the supermarket, but what is beyond the sushi? We hear dashi, ramen, izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. My guest today is Yu Shimano, who is the chef owner of Restaurant Yu in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, which opened in May 2023. Yu joined us in episode 199 in 2020 when he was executive chef at the Mifune, a creative Japanese restaurant in Midtown Manhattan, and discussed his unique culinary career. For example, Yu worked as associate at Guy Savoy in Paris, which had three Michelin stars. And during the pandemic, he actively supported essential workers by raising funds and making delicious meals for them. And his hard work came to fruition and opened his own restaurant, Restaurant Yu. Within 6 months of the opening, Yu just earned his first Michelin star. So today we'll discuss the fascinating concept of Yu at Restaurant Yu, the challenges he came across in opening and running his own restaurant, how he built a cohesive, highly talented team, the unique service style at Restaurant Yu, and much, much more. But before we start, Japanese is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japanese. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now, let's start a conversation with Yu Shimano. Hello, Yu. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
You did. So actually, welcome back to the show. So it's amazing how much happened in the past 3 years for you. So for listeners who have not listened to episode 199, tell us briefly about your background and where you're from and how did you get into the culinary world?
So I'm Japanese. Also, I'm born to the Osaka. I was living in the Kobe. So I've been the 23 years as the chef. Also, my experience with 8 years in Japan, also 8 years in France, on the seven years in New York City, in the chef's world.
Right, and you worked in France, in Japan, in a French restaurant in Japan, in Kobe, yeah, and Tokyo, and also you have diverse cooking culinary experience in Cannes. That's the movie city, and you work for celebrities, and of course, at Michelin star Guy Savoy in Paris. So your background is very diverse, but very classic, I have to say. So very rare, classically trained Japanese chef. I'm working in New York now, right? So, so let's talk about your new restaurant Yu, which opened in May 2023 on your birthday. So congratulations on the opening. And so what is the concept of Restaurant Yu?
So concept is a very respect focus for the classic and the traditional French food. Also we send a message of the Japanese identity. So this is our concept.
Right. In your brief sentences, there's a lot behind it. So so first of all, in New York, we don't see many classic French cuisine it's more modern creative part. That's New York's culinary energy. Mm-hmm. But you really stubbornly decided to offer classically prepared French dishes. Mm-hmm. So because it's your training, or why would you like to offer French, classic French food?
Yeah, I think the Japanese food and for example Italian food is very simple, only the sauteed, because at this moment we can get a very fresh food. For the sushi, the very fresh fish, only the cut. But French restaurants for example, fond du vin, need a very time, also the very work, also very need money. So I think this moment is not correct. So my food is a very focused classic, so using the fond du vin, so the very important sauce, the fish sauce, meat sauce. So I think this is my style.
Right. So interesting, right? So Japanese and Italian classically, typically said to be very ingredient-based food items, and pass that to Japanese sushi, to anything. But then in French cuisine, it's more of elaborate steps and building up all those flavors and come together. And that's why people say French is the cuisine of additions and Japanese cuisine of reduction, so or subtraction. So that's an interesting contrast, and it's interesting that you chose to be classically a French chef. So, okay, so what is the essence of French cuisine that you love and want to share with your guests?
for my restaurant style,
sure.
So for example, my food is using the eel, E-E-L, for the unagi. In Japanese, with a kabayaki technique, but I'm doing the French technique, so the like a deglace, so the using the Japanese food, but using technique is a French technique. Also the combination is a traditional, but also for example using the coffee powder, the sanchok puree, sanchok chips. This is my style, I think, based on the French technique, but using the Japanese food, also the technique there, also a modern technique a little bit. I think this is my style.
Right, because your reference of flavors are Japanese, because that's where you grew up. Interesting. So like the listeners who are not familiar, the unagi eel is one of the most classic Japanese dishes, and eel is very highly nutritious, and there's so many specialized restaurants in Japan, and the unagi don is the eel topped on top of the really carefully prepared rice, and that's a classic Japanese flavor with the soy sauce, mirin, and some sugar. So, and it's interesting that you combine almost opposite looking French flavor, or butter and cream, but then you have this Japanese rich flavors, right? Interesting, right? So, so do you call your cooking style of cooking as a classically French but Japanese inspired? Is that how you call it?
What called? So French restaurant? I can't decide. French cuisine, French cuisine, Japanese. If the fusion, it's not correct. The French Japanese fusion. I don't think so, because the base of the French restaurant. So we are French style. The chef is Japanese people.
Right. Yeah, so that's interesting, right? So I mean, people, listeners, if you go to France and eat French food versus eat French cuisine in New York, there's definitely a difference. And so I think your style, you used definitely the one you see in France. And it's hard to explain, but it's different. And just because we don't see that kind of classic French cuisine in New York, it's so refreshingly new. And people used to think that French, classic French is boring or something too old style, but it's not. What you do is very kind of updated version with some fresh, it's lighter, cleaner, and some aspects of Japanese cuisine or ingredients, not because you try to mix it. It's at end of, I think, your idea of good food. Because you know the Japanese good food, like you know, foie gras and the eel dish, you mix with the foie gras, right, on your plate, right. And right. So things make sense. Do you want to also talk about duck pie on your menu?
Yeah, always.
Okay. So what is?
So this is our signature plate for the duck foie gras pie. So it's a French, it's a tout de canne et foie gras. So very classic style. Also, this food that I'm homage for the Guy Savoy the experience. But I'm trying to do the more difficult than Guy Savoy. But the base sauce is a very same as the Guy Savoy recipe. But the base of fondable after the duck stock. After I put the cognac with a black pepper minaret and the duck liver and the foie gras, so very classic style sauce. Also the duck breast, we are home dry aged, or usually the average 40 days that dry home aged in the walking fridge. Putting after the foie gras and the three kind of mushroom, the shiitake, oyster mushroom, and Hawaii mushroom, saute, and the echarot, and parsley. Also, the outside, I put the duck leg mince with the cream cheese, egg, the outside. After the spinach, also the very important, the homemade pie sheet. So, only experience to the very many work, a lot of work.
Right. So it sounds as classic French as possible. And what's amazing, I think you could roast it, but you decided to poach the whole duck, which is more challenging and you need higher skills. I think you're trying to challenge yourself and then try to really reach the highest standards of classic French cuisine, which has been successful. That's why I think you got Michelin stars. And let me describe what you're talking about, the eel foie gras dish, which I think was a fascinating dish. So it's basically a combination of sauteed foie gras and eel, flavored with a sweet soy-based sauce used for traditional Japanese grilled eel dishes called kabayaki. And foie gras is normally paired with the sweetness of fruit, like compost, like very sweet, and to balance out the fat with the sweetness. And you replace that the fruity sweetness with eel sauce, which is also flavored with sugar and soy sauce. So it's naturally merging into the whole world of French ideas of sweetness and combined with the fat. And when I tasted your dish, you had a cube of daikon, similar with bonito flakes. And that's the smokiness of bonito katsuobushi. And that really added the depth to the classic foie gras taste. And I thought it was genius. Let me add one more thing. So also you powdered coffee beans over everything. And that bitterness of coffee really enhanced the sweetness of the dishes, the eel sauce. And I just wanted to have more and more. So it's a very addictive dish. Yeah, so very well through, and also you have the gut sense of this is delicious, and you know why this dish exists. So I think that's an amazing product of your thoughts. All right, so we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll discuss the unique dining style at the restaurant view that maximizes your experience at the restaurant. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Korin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant from French to Pan-Asian to American. And that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Korin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Korin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit Korin.com.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to let you know that Heritage Radio Network's Julia Child Fellowship application is now open. The fellowship offers an enriching experience for aspiring food writers and journalists who share our passion for food systems change. The fellowship is a great way to progress in the field of food journalism and digital media and will start in early January 2024. This fellowship will provide participants with hands-on experience, mentorship, and access to an extensive network of industry professionals. The application deadline is November 27, 2023. Check out heritageradionetwork.org and click on the Julia Child Foundation Writing Fellowship link to learn more. If you or someone you know has interest in food studies and journalism, this might be a great fit. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and check out the application today. Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japanese on HRN, Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Akiko Deyama, and my guest today is Yu Shimano, who is the chef owner of Restaurant Yu in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, which opened in May 2023. And his unique style of cooking became instantly popular, and he earned his first Michelin star just 6 months after opening the restaurant. So, you offer only a tasting menu with around 20 courses, and served on stunningly beautiful serving vessels, which you picked. And there are 18-seat dinner court counters facing the spacious open kitchen, and everybody finishes the dinner at the same time. And to me, when I was sitting there, the dinner service almost looks like a theater performance in a comfortable and relaxed way, not like your audience, you're participating, but it's just such a dramatically comfortable way of dining. So why did you choose this style of serving dinner when you conceptualized your restaurant?
First things, I want to do the chef, basically chef, the kitchen worker, for kitchen worker, the spotlight, so kind of the Broadway style. So customer wanna be the, when a customer seeing the cooking of the chefs, Broadway style. Also, the second reason is that focus is the best timing of the meat. For example, duck pie is usually the each table the different style is a more smaller the duck pie, but our duck pie is very big because every meat is a four meat bigger is a. I think more good condition, the best of more delicious. So I wanted to like this. Also the presentation, the cutting. After that, when I cut the meat, after cut, where the customer can eat, or maybe our style is 10 seconds. After the 10 seconds, customer can eat the meat. So hot plate is very hot, cold plate is very cold. Yeah, I want to do like this style. So I just started.
Right. Yeah. So under the space has a very high ceiling, and it's by itself, it's like a theater setting. And what's most amazing, how you guys, your team moves so quietly and smoothly. And it's an open kitchen, like every sound you can hear, everything you can see, but it's the seamless, almost like a, I wouldn't say ninja, but it's pretty smooth, soundless, and very comfortable. It's like a choreography. And yeah, I really admire how you coordinate the movement. Mm-hmm. It's not just the movement, but I think your mind works together for your team. So yeah, that's amazing. Okay, so you have been always good at creating a great network of people. Yeah. And at the rest of you have the very cohesive, strong team like that, you know, ninja movement.
Team. Yeah.
So, could you tell us who they are?
Yeah, sure. So everybody, my team has very helped me. So I introduced my stuff. So the first guy is Masaki Takahashi, who is a special chef who worked at the restaurant Narisawa two-star Michelin in Japan. Also the older friend have been 10 years ago. I think that he's the number one pastry chef in New York City, 100%. Yeah. Mm. Also the second guy, the sommelier, also the service manager, his name is Akio Matsumoto, who worked the Rafael Vesan's three-star Michelin in the Nishi Asabu Japan. Also, after that, he worked at Torien in New York City, Master Michelin too. He's also he helped me his pairing is very amazing. Only eat my food after he felt the 2-3 kind of the wine on the, maybe his strong point is that he not very Japanese tea, Chinese tea, also the non-alcohol drink, cocktail. Of course, the sake. So he notices many memory in his head. Also, so my partner, the chef de cuisine, whose name is Shuji Furukawa, executive chef, who worked in same as my experience, who worked in Japan. After he went to the France, a couple years. After he been about 10 years in New York City. So yeah, he helped me well too. His food is very amazing. Also, he has an experience of work a Japanese restaurant a couple years too. So his food is very, very different as me. Yeah, basement member is four people. Good team.
Right, yeah, it's very close knit. It's almost like, I don't know, it's like we've been surviving opening and building this amazing Michelin star restaurant. And it's really exciting to see, like, that when you open the door of a restaurant, sometimes you feel like it's not a good place to work. And your place is like going into, I don't know, maybe a friends club or something like Zen Temple, something very calming and but really positive energy. So yeah, it's amazing to have such a great team. And you are the great leader.
Yeah.
So, and the restaurant you use located in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, facing the beautiful McCarran Park. So why did you choose a location?
I wanted my house is many, there are many nature or the mountain, river. So yeah, I want to see the blue sky. It's a very simple reason. Also when I worked at Mifune, the kitchen didn't have the window. So I think chef's work is a kind of the artist. So we need to feel the four seasons, with the winter, spring, summer, fall, the depend on the time of the sunrise after we need to feel more four seasons. It's to do the good food. So yeah, I choose the big windows restaurant, also Greenpoint, my restaurant, the front of the McCarran Park, so can see a green nature, the blue sky, and sometimes yellow reef, red reef. Yeah, so I choose here.
I really think McCarran Park is probably the best park in New York City. That's my personal thing. But it's also the Greenpoint is becoming really up and coming. And then there's so many new, exciting, great restaurants nearby. So I think you picked the right place at the right time. And of course, I have to talk about your new Michelin star, which was awarded on November 7th. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So the Michelin guide ratings are a big deal for chefs in the whole world. So what does the Michelin star mean to you?
I think, my experience restaurant almost had a Michelin star. So, always my target is a Michelin star. What is a Michelin star? Some people said don't focus only the Michelin star. Because the Michelin star had a history, the three-star Michelin chef, always the pressure after the very, had many problems. So it is not good for the chef's health, mental health. But just now, I think that our target always can get how to get three-star Michelin for the service, food, detail, bathroom always clean up, or the customer service, everything. If we are grown up, I think same as the will be the grown up to submission, three submission. So it is my dream. Also the different side, I think that to make team's motivation up is very good for us.
Right. Well, that's true. And the Michelin started to be kind of more kind of democratic, more approachable. And they really not like fancy decor that cost lots of money. They became more kind of open to pursue everybody's joy of eating and experience a good time at the restaurant. So I think your achievement within 6 months of opening is just amazing. So why do you think you earned a Michelin star?
I think maybe our target was a two-star Michelin, so I could get it one-star Michelin. Also, I came 7 years ago to New York City. New York City restaurant's level is very up. So yeah, that's it. That target is very important. My friend opened a restaurant. He didn't get a one-star Michelin because his target was a one-star Michelin. So maybe it's very important reason. Yeah.
Interesting.
So next year our target is a three-star Michelin.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, and your hero and the biggest source of inspiration, Chef Alain Ducasse, who has many, many Michelin stars, visited your restaurant recently. So why is Chef Ducasse so important to you? And how did you feel when he tasted your dishes at the restaurant view?
Yeah, first, maybe best of nervous day. It was. I asked you, Akiko-san. I was so nervous. But one day, I could very good preparation from the 1 week ago. The venue for the target. So the Alain Ducasse is very important. Yeah, because 22 years ago. In the world, there are not many the internet, but I bought the old book. The Mr. Ducasse is doing the white coat with a good watch. Also, they're very beautiful, and he's working in any place, whether France, China, Japan. When I was young, I thought, wow, the chef can work in the world. He's very good. So very cool. Oh, he's so cool.
Right. I remember you said that about 20 years ago, it was him who inspired you to be a a chef, like yeah. very, very a moment of the see you saw him on TV and Alain Ducasse, not just cool, but he was so influential to change, almost to change the worldview because through his magnificent restaurants and hotels, you can change people's experience and lives and make it happier, more joyful and inspiring. So it's amazing. 20 years later, you got this amazing chef at the restaurant and you got a Michelin star. So yeah, you have a lot to celebrate at this moment.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Right. So what are your plans and dreams?
Yeah, very simple. The dream is I want to be the three-star Michelin chef, but also my other plan as a chef's chef's work in Japan is not too much the popular, the too much work and not too much salary, and I want to be the more good job chef's work. Will be the more good job in Japan.
I want to ask this question. So you said after you opened restaurant U, you went to Mexico with your team members, right? So what changed you as a chef, also your direction of cooking at restaurant U?
We felt the more. Food is very freedom. Mm. Also, we don't have the answer. And to do the fun. And we have to know, the chef have to know the many food delicious answer. Because I never ate that Mexican local taco. I never eat, but when I eat, it was amazing. But I don't know how to cook. So in my head it was very confused. What is that? What is this? How to make? How to cook? Yeah. So very trip is very important to make to make inspiration and input. So
Right. So one thing I felt, so I got lucky to be able to visit your place twice. The first time was friends and family, just when you open it, and you are still wondering, cooking classic French cuisine, being Japanese, and this is New York. And so you are slightly reluctant about the direction of the restaurant. And I saw since you came back from Mexico, your dishes, your team, everything's more confident, full of energy, looking for good food, just for offering the best food possible in this New York City, being the best at chef, not as being Japanese or what you're cooking. It's about, and on this plate, you just want to serve a good food. And that was like the confidence. I feel like, whoa, one trip changed a lot. So, it's refreshing how much you can absorb from one trip. And I think, again, your team is just astonishingly really well built and a forward-minded good team. So, I really wish you luck. And I don't want you to just be obsessed with the three-star Michelin because you have your own value to pursue, I think, even outside Michelin. So, good luck. And so where can we find your updates online and on social media?
We have the original website, Restaurant U. Also the social media, the restaurant account, the Instagram, also Facebook too, the Restaurant U. Also my own page is Instagram, also Facebook, the U Shimano, Y-U-U, S-H-I-M-A-N-O. We can.
Right. Okay, so the website is, so this is a trick, you have two U's, right?
Y-U-U, it's my name.
New York.
Spare.
.com, right? And Instagram, restaurant_YUUNYC. So, congratulations again and good luck. And hopefully you can come back and keep being updating us with new discoveries and new progress in your own restaurant.
Thank you so much.
Right. Okay. Yeah, thank you. So, listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@heritageradionetwork.org or kikukatema.com. Japanese is a weekly program and it's always available at heritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Engineer is Anna Spenjan, and thanks for listening. I will see you next week. Japanese is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.